Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 9th of December, recording at 8:39 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, a slightly less exciting day today than yesterday, but still quite exciting. Some people might use a different description on this, but, well, you know, stuff does happen in markets, and we can anticipate a fair amount of it and not anticipate it all, or at least not the degree or the suddenness of what takes place. But we have to be philosophical about this. It's character building. Now, I'll start off in the analysis with the questions that I raised in the comment of the day in response to one of those interesting emails that I had. And really, the question that I raised is, could gold and silver fall as much on this move as they did last April? Well, and just to put those in perspective, if you haven't viewed the charts, I think gold fell $50 from its high. Can't remember exactly where that high was, but $50 is a big downward move. And we haven't seen anything approaching that so far. And silver fell. Gosh, it had got up over 8 back in April, and then fell down to just under 550. Now, my answer has to be honest, to have both feet on the ground, is to say, well, it could, in the sense that markets can do anything, but I would be very, very surprised if that were to happen, and I'm certainly betting against that actually happening. Now, of course, this is related to the US dollar. I just don't think that the dollar is going to see anywhere near the rally this time around that it saw last April. Then the dollar had become really quite overextended, and it had had a long run, and it fell back in a major medium-term correction. And the metals did likewise. I think this is a lesser move in terms of its scope and potential, and I was not at all unaware of the risk and potential for a correction in the U.S. dollar last time. You know, it was marked the high, or was marked by some dramatic key day reversals against the euro, and so on. Can review all that in the archive if one wanted to go back and study it. So, I just don't think there's anything like, excuse me, the same downside risk. But in terms of tactics, I am playing it really quite cautiously. I still have my gold, and it was sloppy not to have protected the profit that I had on the position, and so that gave up quite a good profit. But I still have the position. Gold, all gold has really done is pulled back close to the support that, or the upper side of the range that launched the last move, and that is a support level. So I think that gold is certainly in a buying range and would be a buy on any further weakness. Now, ditto silver. I picked up a little bit more silver in here today, as you'll know from comment of the day, buying it at 689, and it's currently trading after hours at 683, and it actually dipped down. I put another order in the market when I saw it resume its decline, a GTC, good till cancel, bid for silver, and another third baby steps tranche, and I'm doing it sort of roughly 20 points below what I had, and they've been about 20 points between my my buy levels, and I will continue really on that basis until I see it leveling out and stabilizing. Well, that's my current strategy, and I think these are, I think gold and silver remain extremely interesting at this stage. Now, going back now to the beginning, and in terms of what I usually do in these audios and picking up stock markets, we've still got this nervous tone here. And when stuff happens, as they say, we often get these cascade effects where you'll see sharp reactions in markets, such as we saw yesterday with currencies coming down against the US dollar and with precious metals in particular reacting downwards. And then that spills over into a number of other markets. It hit a number of the metals. That was not all that surprising. It hit not all of the supply in elasticity trades by any means, but it hit a number of them. And then we get sort of stock market jitters coming in because they had a pretty good run for a while and were showing some evidence of a consolidation. So as I say, you get this cascade effect, you get a knock-on effect in here, and stock markets, I maintain, are still in an overall consolidation phase, and I see an awful lot of nervous commentary, including several reports talking about crashes. And I posted that thing by Mark Faber, who drew attention to the 87 crash, made some sort of parallel. I don't want to misquote him, let alone overstate his view, but I thought it was quite strongly stated, and he was saying sell U.S. equities. Well, I don't feel that this is really a bearish environment here at all. I mean, things that I had been worried about and was qualifying my optimistic scope for global stock markets, really basically from the time I got back from my cycling holiday on the last day of August and saw the charts and saw those impressive upward dynamics in mid-August that I keep referring back to, that looked different. It looked like the beginning of a medium-term rally. And my qualifications concerned the oil price. The oil price was continuing to hit new highs. That was obviously a very, very heavy headwind. I was concerned about interest rates as well. And there hasn't been too much additional pressure. And there's something else that eludes me at the moment at this late hour and a long day that I qualified it is, but the factors that I had been concerned about are not really the dollar, the U.S. dollar. If the dollar went into some sort of free fall, which I did not expect, but if it fell rapidly enough to be considered a crisis generally, that would be bearish. Well, you could say we got a bit close to that. There was some crisis talk in the air, a nervous environment. But needless to say, markets don't crash or seldom crash when people are telling them to crash or predicting that they're going to crash. They usually crash during a period of sort of manic euphoria, and suddenly there'd be some minor catalyst, more as often as a major catalyst, that causes a sudden convulsive change in sentiment. Now that drama can be played out on a much, much smaller scale on a day-to-day basis, and indeed I think that's the sort of smaller scale drama that we've seen played out over the last few days. But at any rate, I feel that the global stock markets are still showing to me technical evidence that this is a consolidation and no more. Now, when you do get, after you've had a good long rally, as we have from those mid-August lows, and then when you see a loss of momentum, people tend to get very nervous and think that perhaps that's it. And of course, they could be right, but I don't see the danger. I actually think the technical action is fairly positive overall. I'm more reassured by the fact that people have been talking about an 87-style stock market crash, and there's been that little whiff of crisis in the air. That's probably more favorable than not. So my qualifications, you know, if the dollar were to start spiraling down once again, well, that would create to worry. I would worry even more if the oil price were to spike back up over 50 and to hold those gains, and it's not threatening to do that at the moment. And the interest rate factor, well, I think we're probably going to have to worry more about that in 2005, and particularly if the U.S. economy does a bit better than most people think it's doing here right now. And Wall Street, as I look at Wall Street today, again, at one stage it was Dow was down about, I think, about 50 points. Well, it's up 50 as I speak, and will almost certainly close out the day with some moderately good gains. S&P up nearly 6, lesser on the NASDAQ, but still on the plus side. We did see that nervousness leading to a further pullback in some of the leading markets, such as Australia. Again, I'm not willing to call this more than a consolidation at this stage. Some of the Asian markets were a bit softer. European markets were softer today, showing modest declines. Nothing big. The biggest was the DAX, down 51 points nearly, down was 1.21%, but most of the gains were quite small. government bonds, now they had been strong earlier in the day, and I'm ruing the fact I'd actually said, oh, and I was probably going to go in and wanted to short some more there. They were right up at the top of the range on the March bonds, got up to 113.09, and I demurred, looking at something else, monitoring or putting in silver orders. It's certainly a case of a bit spoiled for choice in here right now. There are a number of interesting situations, playing my natural gas trades and so on. So at any rate, I didn't. They fell back as Wall Street picked up and are down 112. Well, they're down 18.30 seconds at 112.16. I really do feel that bonds are in a selling range here. But as I've said all along, it's choppy. It may take time. We do not have a trend here at this stage. And I know there are a lot of traders and investors. If there isn't a trend, then they want to stay out. We're in the lengthy top extension phase, I'm convinced, in terms of bond prices. In other words, bottoming out of the government bond yields. Okay, looking at the currencies, yesterday, of course, that was the big day of sell-off. They're somewhat steadier today, but the dollar has rallied a little bit further. But to give you some of these numbers, so for instance, the euro is currently at 133.23. Okay, that's down 14 ticks on the day, but it was as low as 132.52. The other one, dollar yen, the dollar got back up to 105.02, currently 104.54, so it's still up 57 ticks. A number of people feel that the Japanese probably did intervene, and that we'll hear about it later. That's I don't know, and to make a short statement on it, but it wouldn't surprise me if we had information coming out to that effect a little later on. Sterling fell back a little bit, but is still at 192.79, so it's not down, it's only down 70 cents in here right now. Gold, that was interesting because it's taking its cue from what's happening to the dollar more often than not, but it did it plus a bit more, and there's an email of the day, and they're talking about a Chicago Board of Trade margin increase that had come in, and that is always good to, or always sufficient, I should say, to trigger a correction when we get those margin requirement hikes. Now, gold at the moment, though, is 437.5, but it dipped down as low as 432.5. Now, again, I'll repeat myself that, as I'd said before the break downwards in gold, that it was a buy on declines of $20 to $50. I don't think we'll see the $50 drop, as I said this time, but about what happened. We got up to about 4:58 and just dipped as low today as 4:32. Maybe we weren't quite as high as 4:58. I think that was the futures contract. So say 4:55. So we've had a good pullback in here. That's my view, that it's in a buying range. Ditto silver, but it's as I said in the comment of the day, it's catch a falling knife territory. We have to be careful. These markets usually overreact. I'll err on the side of caution rather than being too aggressive in terms of the size of my positions. It's generally a good thing to do at all times. And some of the other metals, still a little bit of knock-on profit taking occurring. Palladium was down today. That's another one that I may well buy. I find the silver more interesting in terms of the short term, but the palladium 196.50 here, and still very much in its lengthy base extension phase. But that's not the one I really want to concentrate on if the leaders are soft and back in buying ranges, as is the case in my view. And they are, of course, gold, silver, and platinum. Now, in terms of the industrial metals, that nickel continues to ease lower, and it's lost that backwardation that showed temporarily yesterday, to my mild concern in here. It's still very much range bound, but it is easing its way down within the range. And that was pretty much on the cards once it broke below that 9,000 level. Down 70 in here today at 8,620. I have a position there, and I'm losing money on that position at the moment. But I'm willing to ride that, partly because I think that this little bit of knock-on selling that we've seen in a number of these supply and elasticity trades is going to be fairly temporary. If not, I'll lose money in what's not a large position overall. If it were, then I would have taken some defensive action. But say it's not a large position. Meanwhile, I'd like to see things like lead fall back further. I've had a couple of excellent long trades in that this year, and would love another bite. But it's not hasn't come back enough for me to be interested in doing that. Now, what I do think is most interesting at this stage, you might remember yesterday, if you heard yesterday's audio, I said, well, what will pick up first among these? And I said that there could be a case for saying that the oil complex, which peaked first and saw quite big declines, natural gas had an even bigger decline than the oil prices, I say down nearly 40% from the peak to the trough that we've seen so far. And I am kind of keen to play that, but very much on a baby steps basis. And as you probably know from comment of the day, there was a pickup in natural gas this morning, and I that enabled me to take a profit on my January contract. There are pretty much monthly contracts in natural gas, so I can do that if I pick up. I have a couple of March positions. They're losing money at the moment, but it's the sort of thing that can be recouped in one decent day's rally. And natural gas is very prone to explosive moves in both directions, as you know. But if I'm trying to finesse a little bit of baby steps jobbing, then I'll go into another contract, and as I did with the January, and then traded that out. And I mentioned if I do that again, natural gas falls back. I don't want to pay up for it, but if it takes another hit on the downside, I'll be right in there. I'll pick up the February contract. So what I feel that I'm there are lots of situations that interest me right now that playing say the first to move on the downside, that's the petroleum complex and natural gas, and the silver right now, because of its volatility, I'll probably concentrate more on those for trading and passed up an opportunity to buy some cheaper Aussie dollars in here today, and I may pass up the opportunity to buy more cheap gold in here just to play the greater volatility in say silver and natural gas. So, well, can we extend one more exciting day this week? Well, I certainly can. I'm sure you can as well. Just have a good evening.